This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The northeastern United States and Ontario, Canada moved toward normalcy today, but there are still few answers about what caused the massive power outages that crippled the region last week. Today, the head of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission said that he would not answer questions about possible causes because he simply didn't have any answers. He said an investigation by the U.S. and Canadian governments will take days, even weeks, to complete. NPR's David Kestenbaum joins us now from New York to bring us up to date. And David, is everything back to normal?
Yes, here in New York, they are. Things are back to normal. There are some pretty big and slightly stinky piles of trash bags on the corners, but they're supposed to be picked up. Things in Detroit and Cleveland, where people were supposed to be boiling their water, they don't have to do that anymore today. In Canada, people were very worried. Some of the officials were asking large manufacturers to operate at 50% power usage in Ontario. And one distribution company was even urging people to dry their clothes outside and to use microwave ovens instead of electric ovens. And I called to check in today in the afternoon, and all this seemed to be working pretty well. At around 1 in the afternoon, the demand was 18,000 megawatts, and the capacity was 20,000 megawatts. So unless someone turns on a 2,000 megawatt hairdryer, it looks like they're going to be okay.
Well, yesterday, Michael Gent, who heads the North American Electric Reliability Council, put part of the blame for the blackout on an alarm that wasn't working. That alarm was the responsibility of a company called First Energy Corporation in Ohio. And here is what one of their spokespeople had to say. This is Kristen Baird.
It's going to take some time to review information based on what occurred on our system and other affected utilities, information from the regional transmission operators. It's just premature to conclude at this point what happened.
David, besides the dog that didn't bark, what else must have gone wrong for the blackout to have occurred?
Right. I think everyone agrees clearly you need more than one little thing like that to bring down the power in eight states. And I've been talking to the people at First Energy Corporation over the last few days. And the other thing they say is that, their operators knew those. This is the company that owned three lines and shared ownership of a fourth. And those were some of the very first things to go down. They went down before the blackout. And they said their operators knew those lines were down even though the alarm wasn't functioning. And they also say that there were sort of unusual frequency and load fluctuations on the grid in their area that was outside of their system before any of that happened. But clearly there are going to have to be other factors here.
Yeah, we're hearing a lot of people opining now about what needs to be done to fix the grid. Many people say the grid is overburdened. Is it clear that had there been more power lines, that would have prevented this?
And clearly we're going to have to know what the exact problem is before we can get a real answer to that. But I was looking back at another big blackout. So this one in southern Idaho. It was July 2nd, 1996, and it was a pretty big one. And it started with a power line that was too close to a tree, and then there was a relay near it that tripped off that wasn't supposed to. After that, two generating stations took themselves offline that they were supposed to do to protect themselves, but that turned out to have unintended consequences some 500 miles away with a couple capacitors. So things just really snowballed. And you can look at that one and say, well, we should have trimmed that tree at the beginning. Or you can look at it and say, if we had more power lines, the system would have had more ways to recover. Another point that the people who argue for more power lines...
You're saying here that the factors that could contribute to a blackout, there's so many factors, it's very difficult to say this obviously would prevent it.
Right. I mean, you could make a case that these things happen when a system is stressed. And, that's why the lines sag and they get close to the trees. Or if we had more power lines, then, there would have been more ways to route power around and you wouldn't have had to lose power like that. But, these things turn out to be very, very complicated when you look out to what caused them.
Thank you, David.
You're welcome.
NPR's David Kestenbaum in New York.